So actually, I want to concentrate today on the Genesis reading, and particularly those words that God says to Abraham. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. So a question to start off with, and it's not a rhetorical question, it's not a question I want you to ignore. It's a question I'm going to give you a bit of time to think about, and then we're going to come back to. You can answer the question abstractly, or distance yourself from the question, but I'd like you to try and answer the question honestly to yourself. That question is, what are you afraid of today? What do you fear today? What worries you? What's causing you anxiety? I'm going to ask you to give the things that you have worried about to God. That's what I'm going to ask you to do. Now, you may be thinking, and it's right to think this, how do I give my worries to God? What does that mean? Easy to say, what does it mean? How does that work? So before we go ahead and do that, I'm going to explain what it might mean to give the things you are worried about to God. In our first reading, the reading from Genesis, Abram, who becomes Abraham, was afraid that he would have no children to inherit all his wealth, all his land, and his name. Now, he's supposed to be the patriarch. He's supposed to be the start of a new nation, a new people. So what Abraham wants when he dies is to be surrounded by children and grandchildren, so to know that he has done what he needs to do. This is on its way. And he's failed at the first hurdle. He hasn't even got a son. And he and his wife are not getting any younger. And it looks like some bloke from Damascus called Eliezer is going to inherit the lot. Now, Eliezer was probably a trusted servant in Abraham's household, but what he wasn't was a son. What he wasn't was the start of a new nation, the start of a new people. And Abraham had left his father's household, his homeland, to start afresh. And it was a massive fail so far at this point. And in response to Abraham's questions and complaints, God takes him outside and gives him a lesson in astronomy. We're going to come back to that, but before we do, we just need to notice something really important here. So we're going to come back to God taking Abraham outside to look at the stars. But before we do that, there's something important that can be easily missed. We all know that Abraham is held up both in the Old Testament and the New Testament by the prophets towards the end of the Old Testament, by the writers of the letters in the New Testament, that Abraham was a man of great faith. But here he is, questioning and doubting God. Maybe for the first time, Abraham is overwhelmed and cannot imagine that God can sort this one out, that God can help him. So before we go on, my question to you is, whatever it is that you're worried about, that you're fearful about, is that how you're feeling this morning? That actually God might not have this? And can I reassure you from the story of Abraham? Because so often when we face perplexing questions, when we have anxieties and doubts and uncertainties, when we struggle with frustration and disappointment, we have a bit of a kind of binary response to it, a black and white yes or no response to it. And it kind of is that if that is happening, we are having a crisis of faith. And we're tempted to think that faith should be this unquestioning acceptance, this silent submission. But if we look at the story of Abraham, as he journeys through his faith, he comes to a point quite clearly where he challenges and questions God's claims. So this kind of struggling with God can also be part of faith. And I must admit that I'm slightly unnerved whenever I meet people who say that they've never had any questions or any doubts. Because when I look at the Bible, this isn't what biblical faith looks like. What seems to be more significant, however, is not that we have doubts and questions, but But to whom do we turn to when we do? Abraham, the writers of the Psalms, the prophets of the Old Testament, and so many others with hurts and doubts and questions, took up the issue with God. When they have doubts, questions, complaints, and when we have those same things, we don't turn from God and see it as a crisis of faith. We turn to God. We lean into God with our questions and with our doubts. He is big enough to take it. And in real practical terms, because we can get super spiritual about this, in real practical terms, on a day-to-day basis, what does this actually look like? It can be as straightforward as going up to a Christian friend, and it usually is as straightforward as going up to a Christian friend and saying, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling to pray today. I'm not sure. And whenever we are involved in that conversation, whether we're on the receiving end or on the giving end, we are doing exactly what St. Paul told the early followers of Christ to do. We are encouraging one another and we are building one another up. Back to Abraham and his astronomy lesson. God draws Abraham's gaze upwards and says, look at all those stars. When you've done counting them, you will know how many descendants I will give you. And then verse 6 says this, that Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. So Abraham, though he had doubts and questions, and though the evidence around him contradicts God's promise of an heir and a nation, he decides to take that next step, believing that God will deliver on his promises. And it's because Abraham believes that God declares Abraham's as righteous. Verse 6, that verse that I've read out, says so much about faith, about giving our worries to God, about not being afraid. Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord credited it to Abraham as righteousness. Now we need to remember that in the Bible, righteousness, that word righteousness, can have a number of related meanings. In this context, what it most means is that Abraham's righteousness, what it most means is that Abraham is in right relationship with God. So because Abraham believed, he was in right relationship, in right standing with God. So the next question has to be, what did Abraham believe? What was it that Abraham believed that put him in right relationship with God? And what we don't find here, if we look at the Bible, is a long list of truth statements that Abraham believed about God. We don't see in Genesis Abraham saying, I believe this and this and this and this and this about God. We don't see in Genesis some kind of early version of the Nicene Creed with Abraham saying, I, Abraham, believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth and of all things seen and unseen. We just don't read that. To better understand verse 6, it helps us to recognize that the Hebrew term translated, that we translate into the word believes, can equally be translated into the word trusted. And from the text, it is clear that Abraham trusted God with his future and his trust in God with the things that he worried about his future. So if we go back to verse 6, we can read it as, Abraham trusted the Lord with his future, and this put Abraham in right relationship with God. Now I wonder if when Abraham looked up at the stars, I wonder if he, as he looked up, he thought, if God can do all this, if God can do all this, if he can make the heavens and the earth, if he can make things seen and unseen, then I can trust him with the things that I am afraid of. God didn't take Abraham out to look at the stars to see how good Abraham was at his arithmetic. 1,002,000. He didn't do that. He took him out to remind him who is the God that he can trust. You know, sadly, when we read the creeds, when we read those statements of faith, we do tend to read them as matters of fact, as statements of truth. But they're there to remind us who God is, His majesty, His power, His promise, a reminder of the God that we can trust. We should be like Abraham under the stars, looking up, being awed by His creation and the Creator, and saying, all I need to do is be still, to trust God. He's got this. He's got it all. And that, dare I say it, is where the creeds miss out on what makes, and what sometimes makes them come across as nothing more than positional statements. They miss out on the relationship. Trust is a relationship thing. And as a result, they miss out on our response. The bit where we go, wow. Where we say and do the things that we say and do, because we know that God has got this. They miss out on what it might mean to give the things that we're afraid of to God and to trust that God has got this. When we trust someone, a friend, a family member with something, we are trusting them based on what we know of them, to be as they have always been, and knowing that they want the best for us. That's what it's like when we trust a friend. But when we trust God, when we trust that God has got this, we are trusting that God will be God and that He is the best thing for us. Spot the difference. However great your friend is, he's not God. First, God will be God, the creator of all things, the one who ordains the rising and the falling of the sun, the one who gives us breath of life, the one who by His word and by His love sustains it all, the one who brings about new creation, the one who has proved that death is not the final act. When we trust God with the things that we are worried about, it is that God that we are trusting. The second difference is that our friend might want the best for us, but our God is the best for us, the best thing for us. Don't be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. God is your shield and your very great reward. If God is who God is, then to be in right relationship with that God is the very best thing that can happen to us. So what it might mean to give the things that you are worried about to God, to give Him your future, is to receive the greatest reward there is. God Himself. Be still. Trust God. Enjoy God. He's got this. He's got you. Jesus approached Jerusalem trusting that God had got this. He wasn't concerned about Herod's power, nor was He concerned about the threats of the Pharisees. His Father, our God, has got this. Because Jesus trusted that God had got this, Jesus was able to approach what He knew that was coming. His death was getting closer with each step He took towards Jerusalem. But because Jesus knew and trusted that God had got this, He was in right standing with His Father. He could stand His ground and reply to the Pharisees, I am going to keep on doing what I do. I am going to keep on standing right here, doing what is right for the kingdom of God, healing and bringing wholeness. Now, was God afraid? Think about the biblical story. Think about those last few days. Were there times when God was afraid? Not God, Jesus. Can you edit that bit out of the recording? Otherwise, I look like an idiot. Well, we read that on the night that He was betrayed, that being in anguish, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. So yes, probably. But He trusted that God has got this. And He prayed, not my will, but your will be done. Those are the ultimate words of trust, the ultimate words of dependence, the ultimate words of faith. What it might mean to give the things that you and I are afraid of to God is saying, not my will, but your will be done. And when we say it, we need to remember who we are putting our trust in, who we are saying those words to. Because sometimes we make it sound like it's the last act of desperation when we pray those words. But they should be the first act of a hope-filled people who trust that God has got this. That the God who sustains all things, who brings resurrection out of death, who loves you, whose power is beyond measure, that God has got this. Jesus stood firm against Herod, the Pharisees, to his own human fear, because he trusted God. He knew that being in right relationship with the Father was the very, very best thing, the very best reward. Nothing could compare to it, nothing could beat it, not even death. Nothing could better it. It was the pearl of great price. It is the field with the treasure hidden in it. No vision was more compelling to Jesus. Jesus could withstand all that he was about to face because he had put his trust in God and God's promises. And if you don't put your trust in something, you'll put your trust in anything. And if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Jesus, as he approached what he knew was about to happen, stood with his Father, our God, trusting his future to him. Maybe that is what it might mean to give the things that you are afraid of to God. It is to make a choice, to put your trust in God, to stand with God.